This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Color, seniors, and women may also violate the Federal Fair Housing Act.
If you believe you have been targeted by these scammers, please call New York City's information line 311
or NEDAP at 212-680-5100.
Brought to you by NEDAP.
Do you long to be part of a strongly proactive queer group made up of members who respect one another?
Are you disgusted by the cowardly mainstream so-called leadership of the LGBTQI community?
Does the public abuse of queer persons and its widespread acceptance make you angry?
Are you willing to work with a group of gay superheroes that fights for real justice?
Come get fitted for your superhero cape at the Queer Justice League General Meeting on the first Thursday of every month at 8 p.m. at the LGBT Community Services Center at 208 West 13th Street at 7th Avenue. Or for more information, call 973-412-7743 or email us at queerjusticeleague@gmail.com. Again, that's 973-412-7743 or email us at queerjusticeleague@gmail.com.
I'm Anthony Riddle, the new general manager of WBAI. We have revamped our membership department to better serve our listeners. If you have a question about a previous pledge or other membership matters, we invite you to call our customer service department at 212-209-2888. A customer service representative will take your call directly from 7 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday, or call and leave a message anytime for a callback. You listen to WBAI, and WBAI listens to you. Thank you for helping us as we serve the community.
And that's an appropriate note to segue on, because it's 2 minutes after midnight. Here on listener-supported, that's listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM here in New York City. And a big, hearty thank you to everybody who gave it up for Delphine Blue. And now, well, here's your big opportunity to give it up for what's coming up next. And as our longtime listeners will know, what's coming up next is this.
Moorish. Orthodox. Radio. Crusade. Anarchism for the global city. Radical environmentalism for the concrete jungle. Esoteric explorations of the secret history of rebel culture. The Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there.
Opening up with some really beautiful sounds of Hamza el-Din, the late great oud master from Sudan, and one of the revivalists of the Nubian tradition. He first recorded in 1964. And went into exile, did most of his recording in the San Francisco Bay Area, passed away in 2006. And some of the great music that we've got lined up tonight, that's a Moasha. It's actually a Andalusian theme from Moorish Spain, which made its way across the caravan routes across North Africa, across the Sahara, after the fall of the Moorish Empire and the expulsion of the Moors from the Iberian Peninsula in 1492, and made its way back to the Moorish heartland, the Moorish homeland in the African Sahel. And well, this is a part of the world which is in the news a great deal now for people who are paying attention. There's been some pretty frightening developments in Sudan just over the weekend, which we'll talk a little bit about later tonight. But we have got more Nubian music, actually. And Moasha is sort of one of our Hamza el-Din's Moasha is one of our sort of unofficial theme songs here on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, because it's probably the most famous and certainly one of the most beautiful pieces of music from the high Moorish tradition of Andalusia. But we've got some more contemporary Nubian music which we're going to be playing probably forthwith, probably in a matter of minutes. Right after I announce what the premium is going to be tonight, the premium is going to be a Nubian premium. It's going to be our interview with Sheikh Anwar Makin. And listeners will be aware that we recently resurrected it. It was originally recorded back, I'll tell you exactly the date. It was originally recorded let's see, by Peter Lamborn Wilson and myself in, okay, here, I've called it the page on the internet. It was originally recorded January 9th, 1996. Originally recorded January 9th, 1996, with Sudanese exile Sheikh Anwar Makin, the King of Nubia, the exiled King of Nubia, as well as Dede Obombasa of a group called Kasia, the Coalition Against Slavery in Africa. And the amazing thing about this interview, people, our listeners remember that we reprised it on January 22nd of this year. And the amazing thing about it is that he was talking about the situation of slavery in Sudan, of the Nubians, and even more so the black African peoples of the South. This was when the North-South War was going on in Sudan, which was settled a couple of years back. But he mentioned that there was also a group, another black African group, not in the South, nor in the Nuba Mountains of the North, which is where his own people are from, but in the far distant western deserts of Sudan, a group called the Four, whose land is known as the Land of the Four, or Darfur, who were at that time also being deported from their homeland by the regime in Khartoum to serve as slave labor in big state-supported cotton plantations in the central Jazeera province of the Nile Valley in Sudan. And this was the first that I, or even Peter Lamborn Wilson, who was a big head start on me in terms of understanding the history and ethnography of North Africa and the greater Islamic world. Even he had never heard of the Four or their homeland, Darfur. So this was actually a very prescient interview that we did way back in 1996, which is why I reprised it in January of this year, 2008. So you can hear Sheikh Anwar Makin warning the world 10 years before the Darfur conflict broke out that the indigenous peoples of the region were already being deported as slaves by the regime in Khartoum. So a very pressing interview provides some extremely important background as to what the roots, the historical roots are and the historical grievances are behind the the insurrection, the guerrilla movement, which emerged in Darfur in 2004 was when it first emerged, and which, of course, is led in reaction to the genocidal response of the Khartoum regime and its allied militias on the ground, the Janjaweed militias. So I think this is actually a very important interview. Now, there's been some questions raised, of course, particularly by apologists of the regime in Sudan, as to the bona fides of Sheikh Anwar Makin. Some people would claim that he is a pretender to the throne of Nubia, and I've been trying to reestablish contact with him for the past several years, and I've unfortunately not been able to. But we are making the interview available tonight as a premium. So this is going to appeal to people who really want to understand the politics of that part of the world. It's also, I hope, going to appeal to the real longtime listeners of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, because I'm frequently asked when we're going to get Peter Lamborn Wilson back on these airwaves again. And the answer, unfortunately, is probably never. I doubt very much that Peter is going to ever, I don't want to rule it out 100%, but I truly doubt that he is ever going to be speaking in front of a microphone at WBAI again. You know, it's been quite a few years since he has, and he just does not seem, he seems to be a little bit microphone shy. So this is going to be your opportunity to actually hear Peter Lamborn Wilson, because he conducted the interview with me way back on January 9th of 1996. So this is going to appeal to people who really want to understand the sort of deep politics of the Darfur conflict, as well as people who are nostalgists for Peter Lamborn Wilson, who founded this radio show, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. And I should mention, by the way, that this is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. My name is Bill Weinberg. Our once and future co-host, Anne-Marie Hendrickson, she will be back one day, that I can promise you. But tonight you've got me. You've got me, and we'll play a little bit of this interview later on, just to whet your appetite and give you a sense of what you're going to be getting. You know, we're going to play a little bit more Nubian music in the meanwhile, and I should tell you that the other interviews, actually two interviews on this CD which we're making available, and the other interview is with none other than Thomas Mapfumo, the Afro-pop superstar of Zimbabwe, known to his own people as the Conquering Lion of Zimbabwe, for his songs which bitterly attacked the white supremacist regime of Ian Smith back in the late 1970s. And in the interview, we talk about a lot of different things. We talk about music, of course. And, well, I should say that I did this interview. This interview, the sound quality is not great, perfectly coherent, but perhaps not quite broadcast quality, because I never intended to broadcast it. I did this interview on assignment for a print publication, High Times Magazine. So, consequently, there's a lot of marijuana talk in the interview. don't let that prejudice you. I felt that, you know, for purposes of authenticity, it was, I didn't edit out all the marijuana talk. I left it in because, I mean, you know, he's quite open about the fact that he indulges. And, there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't think that, that the fact that we spend a certain amount of time talking about marijuana and, of course, talking about, Afro pop music, I don't think that in any way delegitimizes the time that we spend talking about the political situation in Zimbabwe. And we spend quite a lot of time talking about the political situation in Zimbabwe. This is back, I recorded this interview back in 2002, in the summer of 2002, which was the last time that Morgan Tsvangirai ran for president, as he just has again. And apparently had his, according to his adherents, had his victory stolen from him by fraud. So, you know, I'm not, both of these interviews are somewhat controversial. I recognize this. Both my interview with, Sheikh Anwar Makin, exiled king of Nubia, and, with Thomas Mapfumo are rather controversial. And, you know, I should say, you know, Thomas Mapfumo is, he speaks quite openly against the government of Robert Mugabe, and accuses him of corruption and being undemocratic, et cetera, et cetera. So, now I'm not putting this forth as my position, mind you. I'm putting this forth as, you know, an interview with Thomas Mapfumo. And, putting it forth in the spirit of, you know, let's get an open dialogue going. Because certainly I believe that, even if there is, as seems quite clear, a sort of a neo-colonialist campaign on the part of the U.S. and Great Britain to destabilize the Mugabe government and return Zimbabwe to the neo-colonial orbit, so to speak, even if that's the case, that doesn't mean that pro-democracy voices such as those of, you know, Thomas Mapfumo should not be heard, okay? I mean, this is a complicated situation, and there are a lot of different points of view which, should be brought to the table and dealt with forthrightly. And whatever Thomas Mapfumo is, I certainly don't believe that he is a dupe of U.S. imperialism or British neocolonialism. Far from it. So even you people out there who are adherents of Robert Mugabe and supporters of Robert Mugabe, I feel that, you know, you owe it to yourselves to hear what Thomas Mapfumo's perspectives are and grapple with what he has to say. So, that's the spirit in which these interviews are being offered tonight. And they're being offered tonight for a, donation to this radio station of $75. It's the Historical Perspectives on Africa CD two CDs. One complete episode of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade from the same one that I rebroadcast in January of this year, from January of 1996, originally recorded back at our old digs over 505 8th Avenue on January 9th, 1996, where we interview Sudanese exile Sheikh Anwar Makin, King of Nubia, talking about the oppression of the people of Darfur 10 years before anybody knew that they existed, apart from the Darfuris themselves and their other, you know, opponents of the regime and supporters of the black African peoples of Sudan generally, such as Sheikh Anwar Makin, who is not a Darfuri but a Nubian, but a supporter of the Darfuris, or the Four, and in solidarity with them against what he considers to be the dictatorship of Omar Bashir in Khartoum. And, of course, you know, some real, you know, professional academic Sudan watchers and anthropologists and so on, they knew about the Darfuris. But nobody else in the outside world really did, right? Back, I mean, I didn't and Peter Lamborn Wilson didn't. So this interview, I believe, is really historically important. I would say both of these interviews are historically important. And whether you agree with what the people who are being interviewed have to say or you don't, they're historically important interviews. And I'm not just saying that because I did them. I really think that they are historically important. I think that events since I recorded them have borne out how historically important that they are. Because both of these situations in Sudan and in Zimbabwe have really gone, you know, they've really exploded into crisis just in the course of the past few years. And we owe it to ourselves, if we are serious about understanding what is going on in this world and looking beyond our immediate concerns, and instead of just being ugly Americans, actually looking beyond our borders and understanding, you know, the big picture, looking at the big global scene and understanding our own local struggles that we wage here in New York City, whether it is against gentrification and displacement and police brutality, viewing those struggles in a larger global context and understanding where they fit in to the big global picture. This is the spirit in which they're being offered. So for a pledge of $75, you will, of course, become a member of WBAI. You will get to receive the premium in the mail. You will get to vote in the board elections here at WBAI, and you will get to know that you are supporting this institution in its hour of need. So for a pledge of $75, you get all of that, plus you get the Historical Perspectives on Africa CD featuring the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade's interviews with me and Peter Lamborn Wilson interviewing Sheikh Anwar Makin, Sudanese exile and pretender to the throne of Nubia, Dede Obumbasa of the Coalition Against Slavery in Africa, and Afropop superstar Thomas Mapfumo, the conquering lion of Zimbabwe. These can be yours for a pledge of $75. But you shouldn't look at it merely as, you know, paying $75 for a couple of interviews which have never been available before and never will be available again. This is your one and only chance to get them tonight and next week when I'll be on the air pitching again. But you shouldn't look at it that way. You should look at it like, you know, you're getting the CD for free as a gesture of thanks for giving $75 to WBAI, which really needs your money. Now, it's true that we do ask you for your money a lot, and more in recent years, but that's because we need it. There's no other reason other than, you know, we're doing it other than that we need it. And if we're going to get out of this financial crisis, it's really imperative that you support us. Now, the people who gave last time, a couple of words to the people who gave last time when we were pitching the quite successful, by the way, CD on conspiracy theory not for conspiracy theory or against conspiracy theory, but once again, taking a more distanced view and merely viewing, looking at conspiracy theory as a phenomenon. A very historically sweeping piece of work going all the way from 1940s anti-Nazi propaganda radio drama right on through the JFK conspiracy and UFOs and right on through to the present day, produced by our good colleague Max Schmid of the Golden Age of Radio and Mass Backwards. We did quite well on that. Now, it's true that that premium has not gone out yet, but it's about to go out. So those of you who pledged last time, well, you're already all members of WBAI. You're off the hook. You're not expected to pledge tonight. And you will be receiving the conspiracy theory DVD in the mail within a week or two. We just about have it ready at this point. So we are scrambling to get out of a hole, and I'm not going to, I'm not going to lie to the listeners. We really are scrambling to get out of a hole, but in fact, we are scrambling, and in fact, we are clawing our way out of it. So there is light at the end of this tunnel. It's true, there's been a big backlog of premiums, which did not go out from previous fund drives, but they are going out. It's not like, you know, it's not like we're getting deeper into the hole. We actually are climbing our way out of the hole. This is true. We are. So those of you who pledged last time, you will be receiving your premium within a matter of a week or two. And people who pledged previously, you all should have received your premiums by now. And people who have not pledged within the last 12 months, well, that means you're no longer a member of WBAI. And tonight, I'm appealing to you to pledge. I'm appealing to you to pledge $75 and become a member of WBAI, get the folio in the mail, get the right to vote in the listener elections, and receive our CD, Historical Perspectives on Africa, with our interviews with Sheikh Anwar Makin, exiled king of Nubia, Dede Obambasa of the Coalition Against Slavery in Africa, and Afropop superstar Thomas Mopfumo, the conquering lion of Zimbabwe. Available nowhere else, never available before, never available again. This is your chance. I'm going to give out the number. Please make a pledge of $75. If you can't afford $75, then please pledge $65 and get the WBAI cap and a WBAI mug. Or pledge $30 and get the WBAI t-shirt, the lovely WBAI t-shirt produced by our good friend Sydney Smith, with whom I'm going to go to Iraq, knock on wood. You out there listening tonight, Sydney? We're going to go to Iraq together, right? Lovely t-shirt produced by Sydney Smith with actually it has the symbol, although he didn't know it when he was producing it, just an amazing instance of synchronicity, or perhaps for you mystics out there, automatic writing, automatic drawing. What is it that they call that strange phenomenon where your pen is guided by spiritual forces? He actually came up the insignia that he came up with for the t-shirt is the symbol of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, which is actually the symbol of the Sufis. It's a winged heart. So it's a very, very appropriate premium for all of our listeners. And for a pledge of $30, that lovely purple t-shirt with a golden flaming winged heart that says WBAI, Radio with Heart, founded by pacifists. So that's sort of our perspective here on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, and we're very glad that Sydney shares that perspective with us. Sort of the dissident perspective here at WBAI, if you will. A pledge of $30, that can be yours. If you can only pledge $25, what is the, I think that's the minimum. I'm not quite sure what you get for that. But that's the minimum to become a member of the station is $25. And hey, we'll take that. You know, we'll take that. So the number. What is the number? The number is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Now, it is 12:30 in the a.m. here on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI, 99.5 FM in New York City. Listener-supported non-commercial means two things. It means that it's supported by the listeners because we don't take commercials. That's the first thing that it means. The second thing is that the listeners have got to support it. That's how non-commercial radio works. If the listeners don't support it, there's no non-commercial radio. And then there's no dissident voices on the airwaves, and capitalist propaganda reigns supreme over the airwaves. And we don't want that to happen. All the other radio stations that you get to listen to out there for free, well, what's the catch? The catch, as we all know, is that your ears are being sold. Remember last week we were talking about the privatization of everything? Well, commercial radio is the privatization of your ears. Your ears are being sold. Because the, you know, the people on the commercial radio stations, you know, Clear Vision or Clear Channel or whatever all those, you know, those big, operations out there are, they get to say to their advertisers, okay, we have so many millions of ears out there. So, you know, give us your money so you can sell your products to all of our ears. Your ears are being sold to, so in turn, you can be sold products. You can be sold commodities. You can be sold beer, and you can be sold cars, and you can be sold all of the other garbage which the capitalist system produces. Now, we don't do that on WBAI. We treat you with greater respect than that. We do not sell your ears, okay? On the contrary, WBAI is, we treat it as an institution which belongs to you, belongs to us, belongs to the community. It's community radio. It's not about selling your ears so that in turn you can be sold beer. That's not what it's about. It's about having a voice for the community, for the broadly defined progressive community here in New York City and via the miracle of the internet around the world. So that we can together inform each other and dialogue with each other and begin to hash out issues such as how do we feel about the crisis in Zimbabwe. How do we feel about the genocide in Darfur? What do we do about it? What is our position as a progressive community? You know, these are the questions which we've been attempting to grapple with in our programming about the African continent. We talk about a lot of different parts of the world, including New York City quite recently in recent shows. But in the programming that we've done about the African continent over the past couple of years, this is sort of, you know, one of the questions we've been grappling with is, you know, what do we as the progressive community here in New York City, what's our view on, you know, what are our responsibilities to the people of Darfur? Obviously, we have very grim forebodings about U.S. intervention. On the other hand, is it appropriate for the world to merely fold its arms and say, well, there's nothing we can do about what's happening in Darfur? Both of these positions, you know, seem extremely problematic. Both the elements on the left, which are calling for Western intervention, and the elements on the left, which are merely, you know, sort of de facto calling for folding their arms and doing nothing because they don't want to support Western intervention. It's a tricky problem. I don't claim to have the answers. And one of the things that we do here on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade is we try to encourage dialogue. Rather than merely putting forth a dogma, putting forth a line, and indoctrinating the listeners, we try to actually provoke the listeners to think and encourage a dialogue with the listeners. And, you know, there are issues out there in which I do sort of put forth a position, so to speak. Certainly, I feel very strongly that we should be supporting the secular civil resistance movements in Iraq, such as the Iraq Freedom Congress. Certainly, I feel very strongly that we should be supporting the Zapatistas and the Campesino movements in Mexico and in Colombia and in the Andes. Those are areas where, you know, I've sort of made up my own mind about what's going on there sufficiently that there are certain positions which I'm willing to put on the line publicly and put forth to the listeners. But I do not have a position on the two topics which these CDs are about. I don't have a position on Darfur, and I don't have a position on Zimbabwe. I'm not clear myself what I think about those situations. I think that they're morally and politically complicated, which is why I'm merely putting forth other people's positions so as to try to encourage dialogue so that together we can try to figure out what we think. That's what WBAI is all about. So I hope that somebody will call in so we can keep this temporary autonomous zone on the air. And we won't, you know, one day be replaced or privatized to commercial radio, which is only interested in selling your ears so that other people can sell you beer. You don't want that to happen. I certainly don't want that to happen, which is why I am a member of WBAI. And you should be too. I'm not asking you to do anything which I haven't done myself. So even though, you know, I put in a lot of unpaid labor for this show, doing research, conducting interviews, digging out music, I still pay what I can, even if last year it was only $25, because that's all I can could afford. I still pay the minimum to be a member of this radio station. And that's what I ask each of our listeners to do as well. So please call 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Pledge $25 to become a member. Pledge $30 to get the lovely t-shirt designed by Sydney Smith. Or pledge $75 to get the CD, Historical Perspectives on Africa, produced by the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, featuring our interviews with Sheikh Anwar Makin, Sudanese exile, opposition activist, and exiled king of Nubia, Dede Obambasa of the Coalition Against Slavery in Africa. Hear from them, way back in 1996, how the indigenous people of Darfur, the Darfuris, were being deported to the government-supported cotton plantations of the Jazeera region in the central Nile Valley of Sudan, way back in the mid-1990s. Critical historical background to understanding the current conflict in Darfur. And with Thomas Mapfumo, the great Afro-pop superstar, with his discussions of the situation in Zimbabwe. Now, people are trying to call into the studio line, but we're not taking phone calls. They're going to be taking your phone calls back there in Tally at 212-209-2950. I hope I'm giving out the correct number. I'm going to go back into Tally and see if anybody, in fact, has called in. There are heroic volunteers back there generously giving of your time, and it is time to give of generally giving of their time, generously giving of their time, and now it's time for you to generously give of your time, dear listener. Your time in the form of money, because you had to sell your time to an employer in order to get your paycheck. That's how the capitalist system works. And now, instead of giving, you know, money to people who produce beer, people who produce cigarettes, giving your money to Hollywood, giving your money to your landlord, giving your money to capitalist vampires and vultures who don't mean you well, now it's time to give just a little bit of money to WBAI, an institution which belongs to the community, which belongs to you, and which needs to survive in this extremely desperate world situation which we're living in. So please do give us a call. We're going to play a little bit more Nubian music. Then we'll play some excerpts from the interview with Sheikh Anwar Makin. Do stay tuned. Please give a call to 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Let's hear a little bit more Nubian music. This is, we're moving on here to Abdel Gadir Salim from the, another oud master from the Nuba Mountains of Sudan. And then we'll hear some more of the interview, but while we're playing this music, I urge people to call in 212-209-2950.
الفرع البيت تنى مريود يسلم عليه هنا كن قالوا طولنا المريودي دار الصعيد جنة مريودي صبر خريف سقاه مريودي يوم قلبي طراه المريودي بيزي عذاب الجا مريودي مريودي عال يوم بعيدة مريودي وتنتمد إيدا مريودي نا إيدي بيزيدا مريودي حالي ليه بنشكي مريودي الفرع البيت تنى مريودي سلم عليه هنا مريودي كان قالوا طول المريودي دار الصعيد جنة مريودي Thank you.
This is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, and I am Peter Lamborn Wilson. It's Bill Weinberg at the controls. And we have two guests tonight.
We are in the studio with Sheikh Anwar Makin, King of Nubia, and an exile, an activist from the land of Sudan, and with Dede Obombasa, who is with CASIA, the Coalition Against Slavery in Africa, who are in the studio to tell us about the terrifying reemergence of the slave trade in this troubled part of the world. Sheikh Makin, maybe you could start by telling us something about the music we were just listening to.
Well, this music is typical Sudanese music, and Mohamed Al-Amin, who is singing, he's one of the Nubians, we call them Marabais Nubians, but it's...
What does that mean? Arab speaking? Or?
Well, you see, Arabized in Sudan, the indigenous people who have been indoctrinated from a very long time, 1317, when the Arabs invaded the country, so they carried on the process of Arabizing the indigenous people, and they took their languages away from them, their culture, and they identify these Arabized people, they identify themselves with the Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, the civil war in Sudan appears to be around this very divide between the Arabized north of the country and the indigenous peoples in the south.
Mm-hmm.
You are of royal blood. You are a descendant of the kings of Nubia.
Yes, that's right.
And the last time Nubia was an independent kingdom was several centuries ago.
Yeah, that was 1317, when the Arabs from Egypt, when they were the Mamluk army, took over from the Fatimids. So the Mamluks told the Arabs who spent in Egypt about 700 years, because the Umar ibn As, when he opened Egypt, the expansion of the Islam and the Arabization. So they stayed there until 1316, when the Mamluk took over. So they told them that we don't want you here in Egypt, because this Mamluk means slave soldiers.
Mm-hmm. And they were the military caste of the Ottoman Empire.
Yes.
in Egypt.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. Of course the Arabs, wherever they go to war and they bring their war captives, they recruit them in the army to fight for them.
Mm-hmm.
That has been the mentality of the Arabs, to use the slaves to fight their wars.
Mm-hmm.
So when they were refused to go back to the Arab Peninsula, they told them that you have spent 700 years integrating yourselves with the non-Arabs. So you don't have the level of the purity, the Arab blood. So we didn't want you back into the...
Mm-hmm.
So find your way out. So mm-hmm. they had no choice but to invade, to move southward and invade Nubia. And they fought with our kings and... they killed my grand-grandfather, King Daoud, in 1317. So from that time, the royalty was kept secret. In fact, Daoud has about four children who escaped the land. The four children are Fazugli, who went to the north, and Sahara, who went to Libya and the northern Africa. If you see, trace the first tribes and the Fazani of Libya, and all these Fazis mm-hmm. are the descendants of Fazugli. And then the other one, Dulib, went into the Sahara and found some mountains, and he went up there and hid himself.
Mm-hmm.
The other two, the elder brother was Kulib, and his sister Asa, they went to the west, they followed the savanna until they reached Ghana. So when Kulib left his sister there, he came back to Sudan to see what happened to the Nubians. So he settled with the other Nubians who fled the country and went to the west and found very big mountains, and they hid themselves there. So Kolib came back and he stayed there with them, and he left his sister behind in Ghana, who formed the Ashanti.
Mm-hmm.
Ashanti tribe in Ghana, because they are this Ashanti, because they are the people of Asa.
Mm-hmm.
So until now, in our Kolib language, we say Nte. Nte means of. So the Ashanti means the people of Asa.
So the Nubian nation was extremely instrumental in the development of many subsequent empires in the African continent.
Yes, in fact, the origin of all the Africans, they came from Nubia. In 8000 BC, when the Nubian civilization spread all over the world, they also spread into the interior of Africa, establishing kingdoms and chieftains all over Africa until they covered all the continent mm-hmm. of Africa.
But
all originated from Nubia.
But for the past several centuries, Nubia has been dominated by Khartoum, the capital of Sudan now, which in turn has been largely dominated by Egypt. And for much of that time, the Egyptians were in league with the Turks and then later with the British in subjugating Sudan.
So what is the actual relationship, geographical relationship between Nubia and Sudan?
Well, it is one. The land
is the same thing.
The same thing. You see, the land used to be called the land of Kush.
In the Bible.
In the Bible. This is the land of Kush. And mm-hmm. Then it has the other names. Then it became Nubia. Nubia means Nubia is the name of a gold. The Nubia means it came from the word Nub. Nub means gold. So they used to say, we are going to the land of Nubia. I mean, the land of gold. So it had that name for centuries until the Greeks came and they called them Athiopos, which means black. And then the Arabs, when they came, they just translated the word Athiopos into Arabic, which means Sudan. Mm. Sudan means black.
And in fact, Sudan was the first black African country to achieve independence in the post-colonial era in 1956. Today it is apparently under a very harsh dictatorship of Omar al-Bashir, who came to power in a coup d'etat in 1989, if I'm correct.
Yes, you're right.
And mm-hmm. were you there at that time?
Yes, I was there.
I
was there.
Born and grew up in
Sudan.
In Sudan.
In Nubia. And then when this Omar came, I was in Khartoum. I was the leader of a party.
Okay, and then he starts to get a little bit into the contemporary tip. The contemporary tip from 12 years ago, back in 1996. So before he gets into the contemporary tip and starts talking about the current situation, what was then the current situation with slavery in Sudan, I'm going to cut it short because I don't want to reveal too much. But you can see just from hearing the first 10 minutes of this interview, and it goes on for, and it's a full radio show, so it goes on for almost an hour. That's just the first 10 minutes of it. This is quite a resource. You can see that all you people out there who are, real African history buffs and African politics, followers of African politics and African ethnography, this is quite a resource. This is really a tremendous resource. It's just jam-packed with lots of information, deep ethnographic background to the conflict. Now, the interesting thing is that back then, the North-South War was going on, and the regime in Khartoum was taking war captives from South Sudan and essentially selling them into slavery, actual real chattel slavery, on the plantations which were given out to, key warlords and supporters of the regime. Now, a couple of years back, I believe it was 2005, if memory serves, there was a peace agreement where the North-South War ended, and the leadership of the SPLA, the Sudan People's Liberation Army, were integrated into the regime in Khartoum, and there's been a power-sharing agreement. But unfortunately, the peoples of the far west of Sudan, particularly Darfur, were left out of this agreement, despite the fact that they, as you will hear, if you get this interview, they were also being deported as slaves to work on the cotton plantations of Central Sudan. So there weren't any provisions for their autonomy or human rights. So as soon as the war ended, the North-South war ended, the East-West war began. And the people of Darfur took up arms. So this interview, even though it was conducted 10 years ago, provides critical background for understanding the current situation in Sudan and the current conflict in Darfur. Now, so far, the tally is up to $85. It's going to be very, very demoralizing if we don't break only even $100 tonight. So at a minimum, I'm hoping that somebody else will call in with just a pledge of $25 and become a member of WBAI. And that will at least put us over the top, put us up to $100 at least. 212-209-2950 is the number. 212-209-2950. A pledge of just $25, the minimum to become a member of WBAI, will at least put the tally up above $100, so we can at least break triple digits. Because it's going to be pretty sad if we don't even at least break triple digits, right? So, really, all of you people out there who are, interested in the deep political and cultural and ethnographic background to the conflict in Sudan, this is really a rare opportunity. Now, this has never been available before. We broadcast it twice before, once, the first time live back in January of 1996, and then again a rebroadcast in January of 2008. But we've never made it available, to the listeners before on a CD, which is what we're doing tonight. So we're going to do this again next week, but after that, that's it. So you've just got, two windows of opportunity. And this window of opportunity is about to close because it's just 2 minutes of 1 o'clock in the morning. So please avail yourself of this resource. A $75 donation to WBAI will get you this interview with Sheikh Anwar Makin, exiled king of Nubia, as well as our interview on the same disc with Thomas Mapfumo, Afropop superstar and conquering lion of Zimbabwe. 212-209-2950. I hope some people will call in and avail yourselves of this, if I do say so myself, really unique and important, historically important resource. You people who are political obsessives about this part of the world, as I know many of you are, and I am myself. Now, it's been, if people have been following the news, will be aware that there's been a real escalation in the situation in Sudan just over the weekend, where the Justice and Equality Movement, one of the guerrilla armies in Darfur, actually attacked Khartoum. They actually attacked the capital of Sudan. And the interesting thing about this is that This actually mirrors the situation which happened earlier this year in February of this year, when guerrillas in Chad, the country immediately to the west of Sudan, attacked the capital of Chad, N'Djamena. After driving across hundreds of miles of desert in a fleet of armed pickup trucks from the Sudanese border, they attacked N'Djamena, the capital of Chad, and the government of Chad immediately accused the government of Sudan of supporting the operation. Well, what just happened, that was back in February, what just happened this past weekend was that the Justice and Equality Movement, or the JEM, one of the rebel factions in Darfur, attacked the capital of Sudan, attacked Khartoum, and drove across hundreds of miles of desert from the west in a fleet of armed pickup trucks. So it was almost a mirror image of what happened in Chad earlier this year. And once again, Sudan's government accused Chad of supporting the operation and broke off diplomatic relations with Chad. So they've sealed off the border. They've broken off diplomatic relations. They Sudanese security forces ransacked the Chadian embassy in Khartoum, and they're now hunting down the leadership of the GEM in the streets of Khartoum, and the ethnic Darfuris, the four residents of Khartoum, are being rounded up. So it's a very ugly situation, very rapidly escalating, and there's a possibility not only that the extremely harsh oppression of the Darfuris is not only going to be taking place in Darfur, but is also going to be taking place in Khartoum, in central Sudan, and the Darfuris who have emigrated there and fled the violence in their homeland to the capital are now apparently also being rounded up on suspicion of having collaborated with this rebel attack on the capital. But on top of that, there's a good possibility now that Chad and Sudan are going to be going to war, and there's really going to be an escalation, very, very serious escalation of the crisis. So we hope that doesn't happen. We hope that that they don't go to war, but at the moment, things look very, very bad, and the situation is escalating. So this is a really important moment for our listeners to understand the dynamics of the conflict and understand what has brought us to this position today. So once again, I urge you to call 212-209-2950 and avail yourself of the resource which we're making available tonight for a pledge of $75 to WBAI to keep this temporary autonomous zone alive and kicking, and to keep voices such as the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade on the air and all the other vital programming which you get over WBAI on the air here in New York City. A pledge of $75 towards that aim, towards keeping this station alive, will also give you the amazing resource which we are making available tonight as a gesture of thanks for your donation of $75, which is the Historical Perspectives on Africa CD, featuring our interview with Sheikh Anwar Makin, exiled king of Nubia. So it's now 3 minutes after 1 o'clock in the morning on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM here in New York City. And if you want to keep WBAI listener-supported and non-commercial, please do put your shoulder to the wheel. If you're not already a member of this radio station, this is your opportunity to become a member of this radio station. And show management at this radio station that you appreciate programming like the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, which actually explores deep historical and cultural and ethnographic background to these conflicts in obscure places around the world. And I hope provides a forum for actually hashing out various points of view and developing perspectives, developing critical perspectives as a community. That's really what we aspire to do on this show. Once again, as opposed to merely propounding a position to the listeners, to actually have a more participatory relationship with the listeners and actually try to hash out issues together with the listeners. And that's what we attempt to do around here. If you appreciate that kind of radio, which is really in the true and original spirit of Pacifica, please do call 212-209-2950 and make a pledge. Well, let's see. Why don't we hear a little bit more Nubian music? Why don't we hear a little bit more from Abdel Gadir Salim, a master oud player from Nubia, and give other people a chance to call in. I'm going to go back into tally once again and see if more people have called in. But we do hope that we can at least jack that tally up above $100, because I've never done this poorly, and I would like to think that people do appreciate interviews that we bring you, such as that with Sheikh Anwar Makin. Where else but on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade are you going to get this kind of programming? This is what makes us unique. So please do call 212-209-2950 and show us some love. Let's hear a little bit more oud music from Nubia with Abdel Gadir Salim while we give people a chance to call in to 212-209-2950. Pledge $25 if that's all you can afford. Or if you want the Historical Perspectives on Africa CD, pledge $75. In either case, your money will be going towards keeping WBAI on the air in what is an extremely critical moment, an extremely important juncture in the generally quite terrifying world situation, where in addition to the ongoing war and genocide in Darfur, there's now the possibility that the conflict is going to be spreading to Central Sudan, and even the possibility that neighboring countries are being drawn into the conflict. Sudan and Chad could actually be going to war over the course of the next week. When I'm on these airwaves 1 week from tonight, we'll see if the situation has escalated or has de-escalated. But in either event, get yourself filled in on the historical background which has brought us to this juncture. Don't get caught with your pants down by world events. Be one of the cognoscenti, the people who are in the know, who have got the inside scoop that you can only get from WBAI. Please call 212-209-2950 and show us a little love while we hear a little bit more from Abdel Gadir Salim.
دلاني في الوداني حيجب للفطرة عمري ما بنسى عمري ما بنسى عمري ما بنسى عمري ما بنسى حبيبي سيد الناس يبقى لي والناس يبقى لي والناس الحرير الطيب الحرير الطيب خزران الميت خرب قلوبنا
All right, more master oud music from Nubia with Abdel Gadir Salim. And, you know, we're not doing all that badly. Actually, the tally stands at 310. We had tally lag. So, wow, all right, I don't feel better. 310 is not great, but minimally respectable, at least. So a big thanks to Andre from Jersey City. I'm just reading first names because I'm not sure if you all want your full names read. Andre from Jersey City. Joseph from Manhattan. No, I'm sorry. Joseph Jose from the Bronx. There. Now I got it. Jose from the Bronx. Thank you, Jose from the Bronx. Doris from the Bronx. Frederick from Manhattan. And here, I know I can read this guy's full name. Bill Hagney from Blauvelt. Thank you so much, Bill. Much obliged. Michael from Brooklyn. And that's where we came in, Andre from Jersey City. And also a big ups to our heroic volunteers back there in Tally who are giving of their time on this late night for WBAI and the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade. So a big round of applause and a tip of the fez to all of you from the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade. Yeah! Give it up! All right. Okay, very good. So let's see. Once more, a pledge of $75 will get you the interview with Sheikh Anwar Makin and the interview with Thomas Mapfumo, the Historical Perspectives on Africa CD. Also, Dede Obumbasa of the Coalition Against Slavery in Africa. Why don't we drop in on them and see what they're talking about?
And
secession, in effect?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Dede Obumbasa.
Now, because they have come to believe that the marriage of the North and the South has not worked. That link, that pulling together of totally different peoples and just lumping them together, people whose language, culture, just everything about them is so very different, and how the British thought this alliance would work is a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's the great African mystery in general.
Absolutely.
Of course, yes.
And so the SPLA, and I'm not a politician, so I'm not speaking as an expert on this, but the SPLA believes that the best solution now would be to separate from the North and then trying to negotiate a political settlement on that. And just in terms of them approaching this as a liberation for African people and cutting off that part of Africa to have it be the southern country where African people can have self-determination and be in governance of their own affairs is what they're trying to do, and I'm definitely in support of that.
You do support it. You've given up on the idea of a united Sudan. In other words, would you say the same thing, Sheikh Makin?
No, I don't buy that idea of dividing the Sudan. You see, I am against the separation because once we, the blacks in Sudan, said that we want to have our own place, which means that we recognize and we have given a big part of the Sudan, of the land, to the Arabs. And where the Arabs will...
To the Khartoum regime.
To the Khartoum regime.
Yeah.
And there they may they will feel good. This is what the Khartoum regime want. They want to separate. This Turabi wanted to separate the country because he said that they are giving us headache.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted the North to be dominated by the Arabs so that they can open immigration for the Arabs to come and they will organize themselves better to invade all over, to penetrate into Africa.
So how do you view the SPLA, Sheikh Makin?
Well, SPLA, in my strategy, I say that if SPLA want to really free the Sudan, they should fight in Khartoum and in the North. Because the land that has been taken by the Arabs has to be claimed back. The South belongs to us. The Nuba Mountains belongs to us. The far west belongs to us. But we have lost the land in the north. We have to fight there.
Do you think that in Africa in general that one should fight for boundaries which, as you as you both have said yourself, are colonial
boundaries.
Imposed by former colonial regimes? Or do you think that there could be a more intelligent rearranging of borders? And would that be possible without, for example, going against the ideals that you've expressed for solidarity of peoples?
Yes, I believe that Africa and Africans are one people. Hmm. And these political boundaries, which were made somewhere in Berlin, just putting the map of Africa and cutting
sure,
it.
Absolutely. You take this part.
Take this part, and this is just giving the cakes to everybody who will not take it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This have divided the African people. As Dede said, her people Lugbara are divided into three countries, mm-hmm. Zaire, mm-hmm. Sudan, and Uganda.
Or people who don't like each other are squashed into
put
one
together.
Country. Yeah. So what to do?
I believe that if the African unity the Africans unite, they should rearrange these borders.
On tribal grounds? On religious grounds?
No,
then,
not on religious.
Then you have another whole set of problems.
No, we have to have another way of dividing this country, maybe administrative or tribal or whatever, to people who would feel living together.
Mm.
We can put them. We don't want to. But
I think federation federation of small organic states.
Yes,
is probably the. I don't know. I mean, that's just.
But that will be after the unity of Africa.
I'll suggest this.
Yes, after the unity of Africa.
After the unity.
Mm. Yeah, mm. But now we don't want more major divisions in Africa,
mm-hmm.
because it will cause us another.
Well, this is a point. So, in other words, you would defend existing boundaries simply as a defense against chaos and against war.
Yes, until we
civil war.
Until we organize ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there was a point that Bill asked, and answered. I want to just elaborate a little the relationship between the master and the slave. You see.
Okay, well, this is actually a very prescient part of the interview, because here you see there's actually a difference of opinion between Dede Obombasa of the Coalition Against Slavery in Africa and Sheikh Anwar Makin, exiled king of Nubia, where Dede was speaking for a position of separatism for the South and in support of the SPLA, which is what they were fighting for at the time, was an independent nation in the south of Sudan. And Sheikh Anwar Makin was saying no, he couldn't go along with that because it would be a betrayal of the Nubians and the Darfuris, who would remain under the domination of Khartoum and would be black Africans who were continued to be facing slavery and at best treated as second class citizens. So he sort of predicted exactly what would happen. That in fact, you know, finally there was a in 2005, there was a peace deal between the North and the South, and that war ended, but nothing was resolved for the Nubians or the Darfuris. And now, in fact, you know, the situation in Darfur has escalated to the point of actual genocide. So that was a very prescient little part of the interview that we just heard there. But again, we've only heard now maybe 15 minutes of what is an interview of over an hour. So, once again, for a pledge of $75, it's yours, 212-209-2950. And also, all of you people out there who are longtime fans of the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade and miss Peter Lamborn Wilson, well, you just heard his voice. The only way you're ever going to hear Peter Lamborn Wilson's voice again on the airways of WBAI is by pledging $75 and getting this CD. That's 212-209-2950. That's the only way you're going to do it. Just pledge $75, and all of you Peter Lamborn Wilson fans will get to hear his extremely sophisticated and erudite voice once again by taking the Wayback Machine all the way back 10 years ago, 12 years ago, to January of 1996, when he, together with me, interviewed Sheikh Anwar Makin, the exiled king of Nubia, and Dede Obombasa of the Coalition Against Slavery in Africa. So, thank you to all of you people who called in. A big thanks to Jerome Sumpter, who is an extremely dedicated volunteer who has been helping WBAI out a great deal during this marathon. Thank you very much, Jerome Sumpter. And Dennis, the tally coordinator, thank you very much. One brief announcement. which is that tomorrow night, I hope to be able to make it. Depends on whether I get called into work or not. Now, if my schedule will permit. But tomorrow night, the 14th, our good friend Mac McGill, artist with World War III Illustrated, is going to be doing his multimedia presentation, showing his own art and spoken word accompaniment with music from our good friend Steve Wishnia, all part of the World War III crew who you've heard on these airways before, going to be performing at 8 p.m. tomorrow night at Think Coffee, 248 Mercer Street, which is just up the block from the Angelica Theater. Think Coffee at 8 p.m., Mac McGill and Steve Wishnia and the World War III crew. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. at Think Coffee, 248 Mercer Street. And, well, the tally stands at $335 unless we have more tally lag. So that's not abysmal, but it's not great either. I do hope that in the few minutes remaining to us, somebody will call in and pledge $75 and get the interview with Sheikh Anwar McKean and Dadio Bombassa and the interview with Thomas Mapfumo, the conquering lion of Zimbabwe. So, I guess we should probably give the number one more time and ask people to call in, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. One more time, that's 212-209-2950. Show BAI some love. Show the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade some love. And show Dennis and Jerome some love back in Tally. And keep things rocking along. We have to be off the air in just 2 minutes. So do stay tuned for Weaponry with Tom Whisker coming up next. Get ready to show Weaponry some love, all of you dogs of war out there. In any case, do stay tuned. Those of you who didn't pledge tonight, well, you're going to have your big opportunity to pledge next week. If you don't, like, get on the phone right now and make a pledge, well, you know, you're going to get the opportunity to pledge next week. So maybe next week we'll hear a little bit of the interview with Thomas Mapfumo and hear more great African music. And once again, prevail upon you to support WBAI in its hour of need. 212-209-2950 is the number. Please do keep the calls going while we go out for a little bit of music. And let's see, what should we hear now? What should we hear now? We've already heard Hamza El-Din and Abdel Gadir Salim. Let's hear some music from... Why don't we hear some music from New York City? Yeah, why don't we hear some Hassan Hakmoun, a Moroccan Nawa musician, recording here in New York City a couple of years back with Mabud Allah. Okay, so that's it.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.